No more of that. That loud, rocking noise. Three in the Attic, the theme to Captain America from your Windy Day Games, a self-produced EP.
Very good stuff. Liked them a lot. Hung out with them. They were very nice. They drank copious amounts of liquor at a friend's house. Talked about taking their pants off. They were fun guys. Told great jokes. Really good musicians. Fun guys. What are you doing over there?
I inadvertently put it back on. I'm sorry.
It was so
I don't
good.
Like them that much.
Yeah. So, you know, if you make your CD purchases based on whether or not they're fun guys and whether or not they drink copious amounts of alcohol at Eric's house or Eric's friend's house,
buy it!
No, it's a really, really good album. I mean, they're very, very...
Is it really an album, though?
It's an EP.
An EP?
It's an EP.
An EP.
Yeah. Extended play as opposed to long play.
Yeah.
All right.
Where's Born?
So a little segment we've got coming up for you right about now is a segment where you've identified your problems for us, although, you know, we kind of knew it. Let's face it, it's sort of obvious. And we sort out those problems for you in a private, confidential, holistic manner in front of 100,000 people in the greater part of East Central Illinois, otherwise known as...
Free advice better than no advice. It's such a damn ungrateful mouth!
You know, and I mean, if you're sitting out there, you're stressed out, you got a problem, well, you know, we're going to solve it.
And, you know, while you're in the fridge looking for some food to eat because you're getting hungry because you had a long day at work, you know, when you finally get something you could snack on, grab a beer from the fridge, sit down on the couch, take a deep breath, and check out The Hook while my DJ revolves it.
You know, by the way, Will Smith this week announced his intentions to run for president in 10 years' time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's...
I would love to live... I'm not even kidding that I would love to live in a country with Will Smith as president.
It's really going to be a politically, you know, incompetent and really empty election in that direction, but it's going to be pretty funny, I think.
Well, did you hear his new song?
No.
Will 2K? He stole a complete score to, like, music from Rock the Casbah. From The Clash, and put a hip-hop song to it. A very weak, watered-down, diluted piece of crap hip-hop song. And
don't
his
be
album,
dissing Will.
His album is called Willennium.
But you... I'm going to say something in defense of the man. I think he knows. Like, I don't think he's running around going, this album's got cred all over it. You know, I think he...
Oh, no.
I think his tongue is firmly planted... In his or his...
The public's ear?
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. I'm just saying. I mean, I had some personal boundaries, you know, that he's crossed a couple times. But this is kind of the ultimate. He's just kind of a... He's kind of a whore of the industry. You know what I mean? Like, it's just really empty, purposeful... I don't know, you know? And it just... It irritates me. It irritates me. It's not really much of a music career to build if you build it solely on, you know, just... Seeing how clever you can steal songs.
So, Will, basically what we're saying is that Eric's saying you're good, Matt's saying you're bad.
I'm saying stick to acting, man. You're much better as, you know, an actor than you are just an exploiter of good music.
And I'm slyly avoiding taking a position in case you do win the presidency. I'm just hedging my bets.
See, in 10 years, I'll be 31.
All right, what's the first call we took?
First call is from Thomas. Thomas is out in Gilman. And he heard us talking about Thanksgiving and all the troubles that it traditionally brings with it. And he's got a huge problem because he has to eat Thanksgiving dinner with his whole extended family. But the sound of his grandma chewing makes him homicidal.
Jeez.
Yeah, and of course his grandma's going to be there. You know, she's always there. She's still alive. And the sound of her chewing, just smacking away on a turkey leg and slurping in some mashed potatoes and like gurgling down some gravy really makes him want to just launch across the table and, you know, put her in the grave. Doesn't feel these tendencies on a normal basis. Very normal, upstanding citizen, but this one kind of thing, he can't control himself. He doesn't know how to...
Do we have any information on his grandma's teeth status? I mean, are we dealing with dentures? Are we dealing with, you know...
We are dealing with dentures. He did
mention
that.
Okay. So that's important.
I would say, why check those impulses? The life of the elderly is a horrible, horrible, painful, dark time. I mean, you're probably doing her a favor launching across the table with a serving fork.
Yeah, and carry over to, you know, your little nephew, because really the life of the young is really a horribly, horribly useless, painful,
take your mom
time.
Out and your dad.
Yeah, let's face
uncle
it,
and Uncle Lou.
The way.
The you life seen that hairpiece on Uncle Lou?
Seriously, the life of the middle-aged and slightly beyond is really also a terribly awful, empty void. So.
And your younger sister, you want to take her out too, because the life of the, you know,
she's
the second
really not
child
pass
is...
ballet school. I don't know who she thinks she's kidding.
Okay, well, you can take a more subtle tack. Just try to avoid Grandma having to eat at all, really. Get some background music on. You know, everybody loves Neil Diamond around the holidays. God knows why. But at least in my family, Neil Diamond gets a lot of spin around Thanksgiving. So blast that sucker. Claim you got a new stereo. Claim that, you know, you just want to show off your stereo. So the grandma can't be heard so well over the music. Yeah. She'll have to shout to ask for food because there's so many people there. That'll mean she gets less food because eventually she'll just give up shouting. Her voice will give out, and nobody will be able to hear her protest when you kind of, you know, slip the food away from her.
Have we ever? Go ahead.
And on to Fat Cousin Stewie's plate, because you know he'll eat it up.
That Stewie's a vacuum cleaner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Might as well just be like electrical taping the food right to his stomach.
And really?
And that one year when you did.
Yeah.
Eric's mom fighting over the turkey skin electrical tape to Stewie's stomach.
Yeah, I could see how those tactics would both be good. But I could understand, Tom, how you wouldn't want to have, you know, homicide on your hands. And you don't necessarily want a grandma to, you know, starve because, you know, still have a, you know, small compassionate bone located in your lower thigh.
I can't really
then
understand.
Then you'd kill
her.
Yeah.
If you had compassion, you'd just end it.
Well, you know, other people in the family seem to not mind, so maybe, you know, he's
they're
pitted himself
to.
As the outsider.
Well, maybe.
So, I'm thinking what you just got to do is hire somebody to take her out in the backyard and force feed her a couple hours before Thanksgiving dinner. That way she's getting her food, she's not being killed, and she will not be hungry anymore by the time dinner comes around, so she just won't eat anything.
When she goes in for her monthly, you know, checkup on all that, those extra valves they put in her heart and the hip replacement thing, slip the doctor a 50, have him remove her stomach. That'll really cut down on it. And then you can blame the doctor, and, you know, two birds with one stone, three birds with one stone. She won't eat. She'll probably keel over sooner or later. And you can sue the doctor for malpractice.
That's a good point, because there'll be no trace of the $50 bills.
Yeah, maybe take your grandmother into McKinley. Have them deal with her. We just got to, you know, find a student ID for your grandmother.
They don't look very closely,
yeah.
So.
Ask around the dorm. That'll be fine. Oh, actually, he lives out in Gilman, so come down to campus and ask around. You know, show up at camps late one night. They don't know what's going on with their IDs at all. So. Call I took was from Dan. Dan lives...
Ah, Dan.
Yeah, well, you know.
He's a saucy son of a bitch.
Dan lives on campus. Lives the life of a saucy son of a bitch on campus. And has a Thanksgiving-related problem, though, in a kind of different direction. Basically, Dan's a sophomore. Dan doesn't have a car at this point, doesn't have a ride up to Chicago, and he doesn't want to admit to... his parents, but he blew the money they sent him to buy a bus ticket home. He blew it out drinking last weekend.
So the problem is he needs to get home.
Right.
Or at least come up with some feasible excuse to why, you know, he needs more money maybe, or...
Right.
Why it's best for him to stay in town for the holiday.
All right. Where's he from?
He's on campus. He,
no, I mean, where's he?
Chicago suburbs.
Chicago suburbs. All right, Dan. Goes down like this. Call up mommy, call up daddy.
Hello?
Hey, son.
Hi, mommy. Hi, daddy.
How you doing? We can't wait to see you for Thanksgiving.
Well...
We can't wait. I made yams.
Oh, yams. I love your yams, Mom. They're great.
Your father finally came out of the garage.
That's great, Dan.
I came out. Of the garage.
That's good, Dad.
I came out, I said.
Hey, can you put Sparky on the phone? Hi, Sparky. I'm going to kill you when I come home. Put Mom and Dad on the phone, Sparky.
Hi. So what's up?
Is Nikki there?
Your little brother, Nikki?
Yeah.
He's here.
Can you put Nikki on the phone?
Well, he's barely old enough to speak, but I
just put Nikki on the phone.
Okay.
Nikki?
Mama.
Nikki, do you remember me, Nikki?
Baba.
Yeah, Nikki, good. Nikki, I need you to do something for me. I need you to start vomiting violently. Come on. Vomit. Vomit like you've never vomited before. Come on. Vomit. 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 Oh, there you go. That's good. Okay, put Mom back on the phone.
Hello?
I don't
Nikki's
know.
Nikki's vomiting all over himself and our new rug.
I don't think
he's vomiting all over, son. And I came out.
I don't think of the garage.
He's vomiting all over.
I don't think I should come home, guys. I think Nikki might be allergic to me.
Nikki?
See? I mean, look what it just did over the phone. If I show up, I might kill him.
You might kill your little brother?
I mean, not actively, but passively kill him. You know, my presence might kill him.
You're going to kill your... What is he saying, honey?
He said he's going to kill his little brother if he comes home. If he comes home, he's going to murder little Nikki, who just vomited all over my shoes.
No! Matt, we're trying to help him out. Okay, so step... His parents aren't
just
that
trying
stupid.
To cover all angles of this.
Right. Okay, go back to that. We'll see.
So what's happening?
No, okay.
Why are you going to kill your little brother? He deserves to live.
Mom, Nikki talked to me and started throwing up, right?
Yes.
I'm afraid he's allergic to me.
Okay.
So that if I come home, it may kill him. The fact that I've come home, I'm not going to kill him. I love Nikki.
Just your presence.
But my presence, the and not what I'm going to bring him. I have a little shirt for him. That's not going to kill him. My presence with a C at the end. Presence.
C.
Not presence.
Okay, that makes sense. You can stay there.
Oh, great.
And we'll send you another $300 just for being a brother.
Well, good, because I should probably get this looked at. Actually, can you make it $600? I should probably go down to McKinley.
$700,000.
Good, because they have great baby allergy programs here.
Okay. Bye, son.
I came out! I came out, and I'm loving every minute.
Click.
Smarty thing.
So,
what was he doing? Dad, if he's at your Thanksgiving, don't go home. There's a reason to claim not going home.
So, I think clear, Dan, you should do. Kill your little brother. It's the only way that your parents are ever going to pay any kind of attention to you.
Just bribe him to die.
Bribe him to vomit when you walk into a room.
A little sister will work, too.
Put your little sister to work. She's had everything handed to her on a platter.
You know, a cap full of bleach a day to a little brother is not going to kill anybody.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
Just keep him
teetering on the brink of death.
Whee!
Until well after the holidays.
Dan, if you're really determined to get home for the holidays, if you just can't wait to see your, you know, little brother's bright and shining face, and you don't want to see that bright and shining face encrusted with a vomit, may I suggest then that you go out to the side of the highway, I-74, I-57, whichever one you think is best to get you home, and wait until a truck goes by, wait until it's kind of late, and you know, you can afford, you've got a few days, so you can afford to be choosy which truck you attempt to hitchhike with. Make sure the guy's got kind of uneven facial hair, and try to flag that guy down. Hop aboard with that guy, get up to Chicago with him. Like I said, you can be choosy, so wait for the right creepy guy. And hitchhike up to Chicago. Documentation shows it's perfectly safe.
I also think that it's been shown that making them promises of room and board for as long as they want, free of charge, is also a good way to get them to drop you off at your door.
And kind of really opening up and... really blurring the line between good touch, bad touch. That's a good idea on one of those
subjective
trips.
Terms. Subjective.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to just kind of pull back, and what might have been bad touch before now is, you know, kind of creepy but okay touch.
Moral schmorals. I've got turkey to eat.
Basically, if you're a hitchhiker, hump the trucker's leg. That's the best way to get up to Chicago.
Convince them that your parents have a king size bed and there's plenty of room for another.
All right. So the call I took was from Muriel. In Urbana, and Muriel said that she really wants to go home. She's a huge Thanksgiving fan, her favorite holiday.
She like loves, paint her face like
no,
orange
she,
and red.
Makes lots of those plates where you make your hand look like a turkey.
Yeah, turkey.
Yeah, Tracy.
She loves to eat the turkey. She's, I mean, huge into the food aspect. She's a culinary, you know, kind of person. She's, and so she's really into that. Well, mom and dad just got divorced a couple of years ago, and so she's been, you know, she called up because she, you know, heard our stories, my stories, and you know, she's been doing the divorce kids shuffle. But this year, dad's going to Tahiti with his girlfriend for Thanksgiving, so she's, you know, forced to spend it with mom, and mom has a new boyfriend.
Ooh.
Mom's new boyfriend is Tom.
It can be hard.
And and
not the Tom from Gilman, is it?
No.
Okay.
Tom's a turkey. Her mom is dating a butterball turkey, 34-pounder, big turkey.
Living.
No, it's a butterball.
Oh, so it's frozen.
It's got a timer. No, she's let it thaw. It's actually a bit gamey. But she says she likes it. She's into the musk.
She likes
the... And so Muriel's watching her hopes for a good, solid Thanksgiving dinner, you know, dashed because, you know...
Yeah.
The boyfriend's a turkey.
Boyfriend's a turkey.
You know, mm-hmm. He's going to be at dinner. So she's also...
Swinging yam, you know, just I'm assuming you've got a car, so you can bring the swinging yam down to make sure the swinging yam doesn't have any communicable diseases, by the way, up to family Thanksgiving thing.
Does the swinging yam have that the kerchief thing that shows that he's a swinger?
Yeah, it does.
Killer.
It's a hell of a thing. Like, yeah. Introduce the swinging yam to your mother's boyfriend, who is, of course, the turkey, and see if you can't get the two of them to hit it off. You know, mom will be freaking out in the kitchen trying to prepare the potatoes, the corn, the cranberries, whatever. And so the turkey will just be sitting out there, not really doing a whole lot. And see if you can hook the yam and the turkey up. Get them to run off together. Mom will be furious. Mom would be so mad that she'll, you know, in the heat of the moment, she'll be willing to eat the turkey. Pop the boyfriend right in the oven. And you can
produce
something with really different psychological implications.
You got a long, kind of thin yam, and you have a turkey with just a gaping cavity in its
head. Well, and you got to be careful, though, because this plan of Mark's does require that either or both you, the yam, and the turkey are not only bisexual, but really kind of... perverted, because
sure,
you know,
sure.
I mean, you've got to pick up a yam. You got to be the kind of, well, and you know, I don't think from the phone call, I don't think this is the kind of girl that goes out and picks up, you know, your average yam. Mm-hmm. But you got to be that girl. You got to, you know, this requires for you to go out and be the kind of girl that not only picks up a yam, but that a yam goes home with.
You have to assist a turkey in the filleting of a yam, which is not an easy kind of thing to pull off.
Do everything you can do. I mean, it's a very important precision affair. Check astrological signs.
And it may involve a sweaty three-way between you, the yam, and the turkey.
Whatever gets it going.
But, you know, your mother gave birth to you, and that was a hell of a sacrifice, so I think it's about time
just
you
just make
one.
Sure that you don't get involved in a sweaty four-way between you, your mom, the turkey, and the yam.
That's when trouble starts.
That's when trouble starts, and
right.
You'll be calling us, before you know it, next Sunday night, after post-Thanksgiving, we're going to get a call from Muriel about how, you know, now she's in love with her mom, but doesn't know how to get the yam out of the picture.
Yeah.
If this kitchen's rocking, don't come knocking.
Slowly, one by one, you're crossing possible Thanksgiving foods off your list.
Can't eat yams.
It's down to corn.
Can't eat mom for
corn.
Corn. Oh, the cranberry. Corn. Why?
Woo!
I love when we talk about Thanksgiving foods having sex with each other. That's my favorite part of any show.
Can you just...
Because last week when we made that Thanksgiving foods having sex with each other reference, it was pretty good. But I think the stuff that we pulled out just now was even better.
Thanks. Oh, my God.
3 weeks ago, it was pretty awesome.
You know what I'm going to suggest is you borrow your friend's big car. Borrow anybody you know who's got a large enough car. Bring your futon up to home with you. Set up the futon in the living room while mom's in the kitchen. Place the yam on the futon. Place the turkey on the futon. And just see what happens.
It's pretty clear what's going to ensue.
Yes. Thanksgiving food, doing it on a futon.
Exactly.
Woo-woo!
It's a hell of a thing.
So, Muriel, that's my advice to you, is to sweaty three-way between you, the turkey, and the yam.
All right.
Your mom,
really just open up your mind, you know, Open up your her ears.
Because
mind,
you know, what
mouth.
Like what stepdad type of, you know, like mom's boyfriend doesn't really you know, doesn't want to have sex with the younger daughter, you
sure,
know.
It's sure. Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's a thing with those creepy people.
Creeples?
Creeples. Creep yeah, creeples.
Creeple.
Swinging. Didn't yeah. creeples wobble but they don't fall down?
Yeah, unless you smack them really hard and spank them and tell them they're naughty. Then they stay down.
Stay down.
All right, quick shout outs.
Oh, Harry. It's not what those surgical gloves are for. It's not. It's naughty. Not naughty good, but naughty bad.
To butter square, lop off those edges, and you're a marketable commodity this Thanksgiving.
To Edith, don't lick those.
To Corn, why you gotta keep fighting the system? Just dissolve, break down. Give something back to the body. Jesus.
To Terry, both the black and the red clamps go on the car when you're jumping it, and you really don't have a lot to do with the clamping side of the equation, so knock that off.
Yeah, so I think that's it for this evening.
Okay.
As far as the advice goes.
WEFT Champagne, 90.1 FM, and What Jail Is Like are the institutions
that's
bringing
the second
you.
Time that's happened, man.
Yeah, well.
You going to cut that out?
No.
I know you have little monkey paws, but
absolutely not.
Little monkey paws.
I've got some opposable thumbs on back order. That'd be awesome.
When those come in.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to hate that day because I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to be the one that has to help him screw him in.
Come on, because, you know, he needs Eric, thumbs
come
to screw
him. When you put the thumbs on.
359-9338 is the What Channel Is Like hotline, and is it ever hot? If you're stressed out during the holidays, don't forget the What Jail Is Like email hotline. We'll sort out your problems, whatjailislike@hotmail.com. We can do this over the computer, too. There's a lot of ways we can do it. We're going to forward out
sweaty
your problem to 100,000 people in order to, you know, kind of sink, you know, make the...
Stinky in the back of a pickup.
Exactly.
And if right now, I just encourage any of you that may have a crush on one or all of us to just call up during this next musical break. And, try to bring us over to your point of view. You know what I mean?
Like, we'll do
try
the best we can to oblige.
Try to sway us.
This is what happens when we've got the Melanie C. like CD booklet, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
out for, I'm all Melanie C-ing out.
Whose turn is it for this commercial break?
I get to look at it.
Yeah, it's Eric's. Eric's part of the rotation.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Stay to your past, man.
359-9338. Stay tuned because public service announcements are coming up next.